Hi, Tim Roy for Warriors.com and Warriors Sound, and also SoundCloud.com/Warriors. As we go through the 2020 NBA draft, here's what we have so far. We're at the number 11 pick. The San Antonio Spurs are on the clock. Minnesota led off by taking Anthony Edwards of Georgia. Wiseman out of Memphis goes to the Warriors with the second overall selection. Then the Charlotte Hornets went with Onyeka Okongwu of USC. LaMelo Ball went to the Chicago Bulls at number 4. Number 5, Obi Toppin of Dayton, maybe the best college player in the draft, goes to the Cavaliers. At number 6, the Atlanta Hawks took Killian Hayes, the big point guard from France. Number 7, the Detroit Pistons went with the versatile Patrick Williams, the small forward from Florida State. The New York Knicks took Okoro out of Auburn, Isaac Okoro, a good defender and a very strong player at small forward for Tom Thibodeau. At number 9, the Washington Wizards went with Tyrese Halliburton out of Iowa State, the point guard who can play alongside either of the Wizards' guards. And then the Phoenix Suns, in lieu of what could be a potential trade news, Kyra Lewis Jr. out of Alabama, a point guard maybe to learn under a veteran point guard. So now, the San Antonio Spurs, a rare lottery appearance for the Spurs. They're on the clock at number 11. And Jason Minnix from ESPN Radio in San Antonio joins us, a friend of Warriors Radio. Jason, thank you so much for helping us out, and I hope you're surviving this year of 2020, which we're all hoping to soon forget.
Yeah, we are certainly are. Tim, appreciate you having us on. And I tell you what, if the draft breaks out that way and the Spurs are sitting there at 11 and they don't do any of the trades we're rumored about, you know, LaMarcus for that number 2 pick and a Wiggins, I think would get done if the Golden State Warriors are willing to pull the trigger on that. But if it breaks down and Sadiq Bey is still there at number 11 and the Spurs are still picking at 11, don't they have to go with Sadiq Bey?
I will say this. When you pick a guy out of Villanova, and we saw this last year with Eric Paschal, and you've seen it all over the league, when you pick a guy out of that program, he is NBA ready. But let me ask you a question, because the Spurs have always been at the top of the class when it comes to maybe going overseas and taking, you know, the role on a foreign player who comes over and you know, turns out to be a very good player. On the board, still in our mock draft, is Denny Avdija of Israel. Would they have any interest in a player like that?
I've heard his name mentioned sometimes with the San Antonio Spurs, and there is that link there. And obviously, I think there would be interest there. But, you know, the Spurs built that reputation because they were always picking 27, 28, 29, somewhere in there. And, you know, and a lot of times it was draft and stash. I mean, this is, you know, the first time in 20 plus years of covering the Spurs that, you know, since some guy named Tim Duncan, where you go in going, you know what, they're going to get a player that can come in and have an immediate impact. This isn't draft and stash. This isn't let me find a pronunciation guide and a globe to figure out where this guy is from. I think they've got an opportunity here to go out and get immediate impact. Now, it might be the guy from Israel, but, you know, there are so many options that the Spurs are facing this year. And one, as we talk right now, we don't know what DeMar DeRozan is doing. Is he going to opt in? Is he going to opt out? My guess is he opts in, but that doesn't mean he'll still be a Spur. Maybe he ends up getting traded. You know, the LaMarcus Aldridge trade rumors that have been out there, you know, Patty Mills on the trade block. And so, you know, we're 2 days away from the draft, and, you know, there's still so many questions that have to get answered before you can make a projection. So from that standpoint, Tim, I'm going best player on the board that would fit the Spurs, and that's Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. Let me circle back to last year, and obviously the Spurs have a rabid fan base. They turn out in droves, and they have for years. As they've watched this franchise kind of slowly get out of the playoff pattern, what's the impact been? What's the reaction been from the fans?
You know, it's interesting because unlike probably the year the Golden State Warrior fans went through last year, you pointed to injuries and, you know, and you obviously know, okay, we're going to get through this and we're going to be back. For the Spurs, and, you know, I've got a daughter in grad school. She's 22. Last year was the first year in her lifetime the Spurs weren't a playoff team. And there's a whole generation of Spurs fans that are like that. And, you know, it's hard to accept. And, you know, but they're also realistic. You know, we're past the big three time frame. You know, that era is over. What are the Spurs going to do next? We know they're going to compete. And as long as Greg Popovich is on the sideline, you have a feeling they're going to be a playoff team. I can't imagine Pop wanting to be part of a rebuild and not being a playoff caliber coach. You know, I don't think that is what his intention is. But what we saw in the bubble was a different looking Spurs team in the youth movement. And so as you get ready to start this next season, you're hearing a lot of the big stars in DeMar and LaMarcus and long, you know, time Spur, kind of the pulse of the Spurs, the guy in that locker room that kind of carries everything, and Patty Mills. Those three guys are on the trade block. It's, you know, I think for the Spurs fan base, it's the youth movement time. You know, let's see what we can do with DeJounte and with Derek White and with Keldon, who, you know, is the one real good thing that has come out of losing Kawhi Leonard, especially if DeMar does opt out, or if you don't get anything in return for DeMar DeRozan. That draft pick that the Spurs got in the Kawhi Leonard deal turned into Keldon Johnson, and he had a nice year last year. So I think there is very much a realistic outlook on the Spurs fan base that, you know, it's going to be a couple of years before they're back to competing for a championship. So let's see what these young guys can do.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, Greg Popovich is not getting any younger. Do you get any sense of if there is a calendar that says, you know, Greg Popovich, this will be his last year? Is that coming up in the next 1 year, 5 years, 10 years?
You know, maybe. I mean, you know, for the longest time, Tim, we all thought that, you know, when Tim retired, he would retire. He joked about that for a long time, but we thought there was a lot of truth to that. And then when he was named head coach of the Olympic team, and that is an honor that Greg Popovich certainly cherishes, and he looks forward to coaching Team USA in the Olympics. Well, we know what happened last year, and now the Olympics, you know, next year, at least it's on the calendar right now. But I got to be honest with you, and I don't want to sound, you know, insensitive, but when his wife passed away, I think all those plans changed because, you know, that's obviously such a life-changing event, but he still looks like he's having fun. You know, I mean, if he would have opted out of the bubble, nobody would have blamed him. Yet he looked like he had a lot of fun in the bubble with those young players and watching them develop. So I'm not putting an expiration date on Greg Popovich. I mean, you know, I think, you know, all of us in the San Antonio media that have tried have missed too many times. But, you know, there's so many variables. But as long as he's having fun, he's going to continue to do it. As long as he's healthy and can continue to do it. I don't see him just going away and not being a part of basketball. But to give you an answer, maybe around the Olympic year, could this be the last year? But the way the schedule is working, it wouldn't be that much of a taxing situation for him on his personal time.
Jason, as we wrap this up, I just take it from what you've been talking about, you expect this to be a very busy few weeks for the Spurs heading into training camp.
You know, it's the first time in a long time that you hear a lot of rumors involving the Spurs that seem legitimate. And quite honestly, you know, for a long time there was some untouchables on this team when it came to trades. And this year I look at this roster, there is not one player that I would say is untouchable. If the deal is right and they can get this Spurs team better, they're going to do it. The West is stacked. I mean, you look at the playoff teams from last year. Then you add in a healthy Golden State team. You look at what Phoenix did in the bubble last year, and obviously with some Chris Paul news, you know, the New Orleans is going to be a better basketball team. I mean, the Spurs might be better and still might not be a playoff team. So if they can do something to get better, it doesn't matter what your name is on the back of that jersey. I think you are certainly tradable.
Sadiq Bey of Villanova going to the San Antonio Spurs with the 11th selection. Jason Minix of ESPN Radio in San Antonio, thank you so much for helping us mock the 2020 NBA Draft.
Tim, I can mock a lot of things. Appreciate you letting me be a part of this.
Jason Minix of ESPN Radio San Antonio helping us mock the 2020 NBA Draft. The Sacramento Kings are on the clock, and we'll hear from them as we continue at Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors.